This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good, usually. But today, we have something a little different for you.
My name is Gabriel Rubina, and I am your first Something a Little Different host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Something a Little Different host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Something a Little Different host.
And today we are once again done the honor of being joined here in the Bad Ideas Mobile HQ by sound designer extraordinaire, the creator of many a podcast and the sound designer of many a dream, Misha Stanton.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us once again and for being on the show.
Oh, yeah. It's a hoot. I'm so glad to be here. I'm having a lot of fun.
Yay.
So we thought that this might be a good chance to take a moment to, you know, we've all now been friends for a little while. We met a couple of years ago. We've gotten a chance to do a little bit of work together. Not as much as I think we'd all like to.
One day it's going to go down.
Exactly.
Until then, I'll just keep sending you Christmas pranks that are shot for shot remakes of things you already made.
Okay, that is one of my favorite Christmas presents that I've ever gotten. I got that during a really shitty Christmas that I was having, and it just immediately turned my frown upside down.
If anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, Misha, got the cast of Ars Paradoxica, a wonderful podcast, which you should listen to record the pilot of Wolf 359 with their cast playing our characters. And it's very, 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 very funny. It's gender swapped as well.
Yeah, I also enlisted Alan Rohde to give me some of the music files that y'all had not publicly released that were in the pilot of Wolf 359, so just so I could do it shot for shot accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a like incredibly nice creative heist in the best possible way.
We
and
hadn't
I mostly
met.
Mean that in the level of like planning, the bringing together of the crew, the meticulous organization.
Misha, I think you sent me an email and I was like, I don't have those files even.
Right.
I think Alan you need to talk to.
Did I send you sound effects for that?
I believe you did. It was really like a lot of subterfuge just so that, because I'd never met Gabriel, we'd never spoken before, but just so I could out of the blue send you an email on Christmas that said, Merry Christmas, please don't sue me, with an MP3 attached.
It was the sweetest gift. And honestly, if you are a fan of Wolf 359 and you have not listened to this, you can find it in the extras page on our website. It is well worth the listen. It is absolutely beautiful. But until the day when we can do more of that or more sort of meaningful collaborations, we're all kind of in our separate corners making things. Misha, what does that look like for you right now? What does sort of your creative enterprise look like at the moment?
That's a really, really good question. It looks like a cool down period for sure. I haven't really made a full show since the start of the COVID crisis. We were working on a season of a show where we were like just starting to ramp up production, and then it got the stay at home order went into place, so we kind of paused that indefinitely. A bunch of my other shows were in pre-production, and I mean, it's been hard for the writers to write in these circumstances, especially like a couple of the shows I make are really intensely personal for the showrunners, so they've had a hard time writing such personal things when such personally affecting things are swirling around. Mm-hmm. I myself have not really known what to say about the current moment in story form, which, you know, the last full story that I wrote or co-wrote was Ars Paradoxica, which started in 2015 as a way to comment on the politics at that time and also how I felt about time travel stories. And since then, I've consumed like every single time travel story in the world and also wrote that whole show. And then the world like changed irrevocably in 2016 and now it's 2020. And I just have no idea what I have to say because it's all still happening to me and to us and to all of us.
Right.
So it's been a lot of kind of retreating into myself, trying to craft stories for a smaller audience and reworking how I say things and how I tell the stories that are important to me in a way that like still that like resonates in a world that's so different than the last time I wrote a story.
And kind of one that's changing so quickly. I find that that is the thing that
this year has been like 8 years long.
Yeah. So
there's 8 decades there was long. A great
Sam, there was a great Sam Sanders tweet that just like, man, 2020 has been a hell of a decade.
Yeah.
So as far as me kind of telling stories and being creative, it's been a lot of Dungeons and Dragons for me. I run two games. I run a game with one group of a bunch of our pod friends since when was the first PodCon?
Oh God, that was 20. Ago? I want to say
it started
17?
Like it started like the month after the first PodCon. 17? So yeah, okay, so it's been about 2.5 years on that one, and it's a blessing every week. And then I just started another one with a few other pod friends, including Kristen DiMercurio, and that's we're doing like session 5 tonight. But it's been a lot of trying to tell a story in real time with the people receiving it and adjusting my techniques on the fly and just trying to, through that story, create an environment where everyone's having a good time.
Yeah.
The one that just started recently was specifically like, okay, there was a cataclysm like 30 years ago, and now everyone is starting to come out of their shells again. As like you might be the first adventuring party that the world has seen in 30 years. And like, what does that mean to reach out and touch people after something that happened like that?
Wow.
And well, I'm trying to do some self-therapy with my D&D a little bit, but
yeah, good for.
And up until last week, that's been great. But now this week is this week. And I don't know what we're going to do anymore because now the story has to be different again.
Right.
Or at least to fulfill. Yeah, you know, that's why I'm having such a hard time saying something, because what I only come up with something to say right before it changes again, and I have to throw that away, sort of.
And, you know, I think that there is this perception of we work in audio. Audio can be generated quickly. It is definitely faster than that lumbering dinosaur film, which can take years to kind of gestate. But this is going faster than even audio can keep up sometimes. Like the number of times that I've spoken to podcasters that have kind of gone, we've had to throw out things that we recorded from 1 week to the other because the landscape just changed.
Yeah. I mean, what's happening is faster than like Twitter, and a tweet takes 30 seconds and zero thought, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, I as far as production is concerned, we're still in production on one show. They're moving forward. I'm part of a team, which I'm not usually part of a team. I'm usually kind of a solo actor ahead of a team, but now I'm on a team, and we're all coordinating really tightly on, you know, we were supposed to shoot it in a nice studio and everybody in the same room, but because of COVID, now everyone has to be in their own house, and we have to have 26 different audio setups and I'll make them sound the same. So that's been it's more of an engineering challenge, which is something I can wrap my mind around.
Right.
Without telling us anything that you can't tell us, have the scripts for that project changed at all? Has there been kind of any writing adjustment to the new situation? Or is it just we are still doing the same kind of conversations? We're now just going to have to execute the recording differently.
As far as I know, it was just we have to execute the recording differently, that the content itself was kind of locked in, I think, when they sold it. You know?
Got it.
But that's just me guessing. That's not not official. It's a story that's been ongoing, and the next chapter was a pretty solid promise, and I think we're just trying to fulfill the promise despite engineering hardships.
Yeah.
And you know, we're in the middle of production, and we're just kind of chugging. But it's to the point where we've just decided, like, we gotta go, because we can either keep trying to throw out what we have every week, or we can get something on paper.
Absolutely. I asked that a little bit just because we're in the process of trying to get new things off the ground. And for us, it's kind of been a recurring conversation about, okay, what can we assume will be doable from an execution standpoint? And how does that affect the writing?
Right.
I know that kind of at the beginning of the year, we had an ambition to do a series that has now been kind of very, very thoroughly tucked into the shelf.
Yeah, no, it got very shelved and pretty quickly. That's the one thing that I've kind of taken solace in. Like, it doesn't seem at all unclear that, like, oh no, we can't do that anymore. And the interesting thing has been to figure out, well, okay, what can we do? Should we be doing something? Should we, you know, be taking some time to do things that aren't this? But like the it's like running into a tree. Yeah. It's like, oh nope, can't go through there.
Yeah, I found myself kind of digging through old material that I never produce. You know, I'm not, as much as I was a showrunner and story editor for a huge sprawling epic, I'm not actually that much of a writer. I've written like a couple things here and there. So I went back to a couple of short stories I got good grades on in high school and been like, could I produce this? I've been working with a theater company where, I mean, we're supposed to be doing two plays a year and a writer's workshop this year, our first ever writer's workshop that kind of got cut off halfway. So we're looking at old plays we already produced and doing them for radio. We did one of them already. I'm working on the second one.
That's awesome.
Kind of
that's awesome.
adapting the theater, but like taking existing material and reworking it as opposed to trying to come up with something brand new that you might have to throw away at the drop of a hat. But I wonder, like, what do you guys think about that? What do you think about, like, at some point you just got to stamp a flag in the dirt and say, this is where I'm making the show despite what changes after it? Like, what do you think is the point where you, like, the world is changing so fast and maybe you just got to make a story somewhere?
That's a very, very good question. And it's funny, I feel that we have kind of made a podcasting career out of giving ourselves such aggressive deadlines that we sometimes don't let ourselves think about those questions. And not just kind of like in our stunts of, you know, we made a show in a week or a show in a month. But Wolf 359 published every 2 weeks for 4 years. And that brutal, unrelenting schedule was the only thing that kind of got it made. But it also definitely sort of led to some
things.
It was
also the priority. And it made us not introspective about certain aspects of the show.
That's certainly something that, like, when I made Ars Paradoxica, that was the thing it was certainly a huge privilege to be able to devote my attention to it so heavily. But like, that was the thing that I was committing to in my life. And now I feel like I have to commit to other things. I have to morally.
And I will say, I think that we gain a lot by working in science fiction and in stories set in the past. And that has kind of led us a little bit sort of go, we are exploring a big theme and a big idea that can get applied to a lot of different specific things. I kind of think that out of our work, Time Bombs and the 2019 episode of Zero Hours are the things that I'm already looking back on and kind of going like, boy, that feels quaint in kind of a like, you know, the world has just like so clearly moved on. And what sort of felt like my best to do something zeitgeisty in 2019, writing that script, now feels almost like, my God, like that is so not a thing that feels applicable anymore.
It's the thing about doing something timely, is it one of the smartest things I ever heard. I used to TA for a professor who talked about, you know, how films are sort of like the you know, the amber in the start of Jurassic Park. They are like objects that are frozen in time and they can't change. And, you know, studios and filmmakers have the luxury of being able to change and do other things. But once something is made, it's a cultural object and it becomes a commentary on the time that it was made as much as anything else. And that's just part of the bargain. When you choose to make something.
I mean, maybe that's just what it is. It's like, maybe I just can't make something that fast.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I mean, and by I, certainly anyone else who wants to take ownership of that, but I think maybe, yeah, like I just can't pivot that fast. I can't make a show about a COVID crisis that's a month and a half long when last week, like the world, like the United States exploded in protests. And I can't make a it just takes me too long to make a show. It takes me months to make a show that I'm proud of. I don't know how to make something that fast.
Part of, I think, what's I'm grappling with and what's so tough is just like, stories are how I make sense of the world. It's how I see the world through narratives, through fiction and history. And that's kind of where I want to put my energy. And it's sort of like, when things are moving that fast, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to step back and say, okay, my instinctual reaction of how to deal with this is maybe inadequate to this moment. So what other things can I do?
Yeah, I that's definitely a great point. I also feel like maybe, I mean, especially right now, as opposed to trying to find a story to tell. I mean, it's a little different. I don't know that I want to write something myself right now. I don't think that's what the world needs, maybe. insofar as I have fulfilled a largely supportive role for other writers in my career, I think maybe that's where I should be spending more of my time, is finding whose story really needs to be told right now, not trying to be the one telling it.
Right.
And then there's, I just hear this focus on like, what's responsible for a creator to do, what's irresponsible for a creator to do. And the implicit thing that I haven't heard said is the distinction between for publication. Mm-hmm. And that's where there's this, my favorite book is Poems to Eat by Takuboku. It's a little collection of this dude's poetry. That's less important. I think the introduction in the book talks about poems to eat, the meaning of the title being like, a poem should be your daily bread, like not this highfalutin thing, just like the thing you need to survive. And he very much wrote poetry that way. Like it was a Bible, not a Bible. It was a diary format. You know, it was just sort of like these little snapshots. And obviously a story is poetry. Obviously a poem is not an audio drama. Poem is not a movie. A poem is not a book. It, you know, you can write, especially a tanka format, you know, sort of like an extended haiku, 31 syllables, doesn't take you weeks and months and years. And it's also not necessarily intended for publication. I think to say that you shouldn't be telling stories or shouldn't be writing now is like maybe that like far-flung escapist science fiction is maybe not appropriate in 2020 to be the thing that you are pouring all your energy into when there's, you know, real societal, I think, pressures, obligations, and other, you know, I don't know what word you would use, that are sort of calling to be worked on. And I would just encourage anybody listening that is creative to make sure that the air mask is on themselves so that they can help anybody else. That might include your art. And that doesn't mean you need to go around sharing it if it's not something that, you know, is for public consumption.
I think that's another answer to the question that kicked this off was how am I working now? Which is to say, less publicly. Mm-hmm. Which is weird for me because the only way, I mean, I've been in theater since I was 12 years old. I made a name for myself shouting about my podcasts on Twitter until people listen to them. So now to be working on like Dungeons and Dragons, which has an audience of 6 people, right, or, you know, something that, you know, I'm trying to retweet important things, but I'm not doing a lot of tweeting of original thoughts. I'm doing stuff behind the scenes. I'm donating. I'm trying to put my resources where they can do the most good. I'm doing a lot of internal stuff, behind the scenes stuff at my house, but not in a very public facing way, which I feel a little bit responsible to the people who started listening to me in the first place, because they listened to me because I had things that were important to them when I said it. And now I'm not saying much, but I think, you know, it's not that I'm regretting that, but I think it's weird, and it's definitely a different way of working that I hadn't been up until this point. And maybe that's vain to say, but
I think that that is a good thing to sort of have a conscious awareness of. I think that in my mind, the responsibility is to have that conscious awareness rather than it is necessarily to kind of just say something to say something. Just sort of like that awareness of people have listened to me, and that likely means that they may listen to me again. What is the thing that I can put forward to that? And the answer to that may consciously be nothing right now. Right now is not the time for me to put something out there because it would not be solid enough to be worthy of that attention.
Yeah. I mean, none of this is to discourage anybody who is feeling really strongly that they have a thing to say right now.
Oh,
I mean,
no, yeah, not absolutely.
So much power to those people. How are you making something that fast? Oh my God, tell me how. But yeah, this is just what's going through my mind as I work, as I try to be creative right now.
I think that a lot of my feelings this way are, less aimed at the person that is making the bold statement right now, and more kind of aimed at the person that feels like they should be making the bold statement, but are not quite sure what that statement they have is, and just kind of going like, that is probably okay right now. Like that is... Like,
and
my God,
is in fact a good thing. It's part of what will eventually, if we're going to make more stuff later, like this moment of angst and uncomfort is important too, because it'll inform what happens.
Yeah.
But the ground is falling beneath our feet. It's really hard to take a stand in those circumstances.
Yeah. Certainly as far as like trying to take a narrative and run with it for many months, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait for the show that we all write like 4 years from now, though.
Hopefully, and not necessarily kind of about this, but like taking forward the things that we learn in this period.
Right, the experiences of this, and the things that we're going to learn,
absolutely,
and are learning. Because the answer isn't to go away. It's to just be present in a way that's, as you were saying, Gabrielle, mindful and conscientious.
Now is the time for listening, especially for me, a white person.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Looks like that is about the time that we have for this episode. But thank you all for listening. Thank you all for grappling with these questions with us. And especially thank you to Misha for grappling with these questions with us. Thank you to you guys
for like letting me ramble about my problems for half an hour. That felt really good.
Are you kidding? It was a quality ramble. It was very, very good and a very articulate ramble.
Yes. Always excited to hear details of your D&D adventures as well.
Oh, I tweet about them all the time. That's the only thing I'm tweeting about these days.
Where can people go to find these tweets? Where can people go to follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Misha, etc. at MISCHAETC. Or if you want to check out all the things I've done, including my special guest design in one section of one episode of Wolf of 59, you can see them all at my website, MishaStanton.com.
Beautiful. It is. We cannot emphasize enough some of the finest work in all of audio fiction.
Yeah. So, and I still will never forgive you for that episode of Wolf of 59. So, you know.
The cross will continue on my shoulders. But we will be back for another episode of No Bad Ideas. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you, Misha, for being here with us. Everyone, please stay safe.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our idealist member, Rena Sarame. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.